Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hello, what is going on, Rush Nation, and welcome back to Fast Action Friday. It's your boy Lewis, as always, and it's a full compliment again. So, Pitsy, what is going on, mate?
All good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Loving life. It is another Friday, which means the weekend is here for some football.
That is it, and we get to jump on here for 20 minutes, half hour, and try and give a little bit of help to some people. But Rob, how are you, mate?
Good. I was on the questionable list this week. I was struggling with some flu. Managed to make a good recovery for Friday's practice. And, you know, here I am, ready to go.
That is it. Ready for the main event, which is all that matters. But let's kick off, as always, with Thursday night throwback.
Sweet. So this one was Buffalo at the Patriots. Pretty much how I suppose I expected, Angus and everybody else expected this game to go. Bills just overwhelming the Pats, even on the Pats' home soil. We start with quarterback coverage as always. It was really nice. It wasn't really a night to write home about for either quarterback, but one was slightly more efficient than the other when it counted. Mac Jones, he went 22 of 36, 195 yards, a touchdown, one sack. One fumble, but no interceptions. So that's the third game this season where he's gone under 200 passing yards, which ain't good for the Pats, really, is it? Josh Allen, shout out to Storm for this one, who will appreciate this. It's 22, 33, 2, 2, 3, 2. That is 22 completions from 33, 223 yards, and two touchdowns. Allen also ran eight times for 20 yards, two sacks, one fumble. Again, no interceptions. Pretty quiet day for quarterbacks, really.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of expected that from Mac Jones after the highs of the week before for him personally. But straight into the offensive coverage anyway. For the Patriots, similar to Mac Jones, not much to tell. Ramondre Stevenson, obviously another fruitful week in the passing game as the leading receiver on the team again, 6 receptions. The Patriots only ran the ball 14 times in total last night. Marcus Jones caught, he's the return guy, isn't he? He's brilliant as well. Caught Mac's only touchdown pass. He had 51 yards over his 2 receptions. But other than that, not much else to talk about for the Patriots. Moving on to the Bills, and it was James Cook who was heavily involved in the run game this week. 14 carries to Singletary's 13. Singletary did get the touchdown, though. But with James Cook, he adds that receiving element, and he had 6 catches on the night, which took him over the 100 scrimmage yards as well. He's the only man who had more receptions than him for the Bills. Surprise, surprise. Stephon Diggs, 7 for 92 yards and a touchdown. Gabe Davis caught a touchdown, not much else. Isaiah McKenzie had 5 catches and again, not much else.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that Singletary's touchdown came from the 1 yard line. Josh Allen did do quite a nice run to get to that 1 yard line before running out of bounds. So don't think I want to look too much into Singletary scoring that touchdown. James Cook, I think, was the better back on the night. But defensive coverage-wise, I think the Pats did actually really well to keep Josh Allen, you know, subdued to an extent. His run game wasn't as effective as it normally was, as we've seen it. And the passing game, as we've just talked about, wasn't as good apart from that really good connection with Diggs and Allen. There was, I believe, a conversation that Josh Allen had earlier on in the week to say to the people on the certain podcast, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to do any name dropping, but him and Diggs have quite a unique connection in that he just gets Diggs to do whatever he wants and he'll find him. And I think that's what makes it quite a unique partnership is that, and quite one difficult to defend against, which is why Diggs did so well. But Pat's, you know, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble and recovered it as well. You know, points wise, they conceded a lot and they're not that many point worthy plays, but, you know, on the whole, it could have been a lot worse for him. The Bills, they got a sack and a forced fumble as well. Ramondre Stevenson suffered that quite early on in the game. And I'm actually surprised because I thought he fumbled earlier on in the game as well. But that's clearly not appeared in the stats. Limiting the Pats to 10 points, again, quite impressive. But it got Mac a little riled up, didn't it? We've seen some videos of him cursing potentially Matt Patricia about how the running game sucks. But it turns out that the pass game sucks just as bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said, can we please pass the ball a little bit more, Matt, because the running game isn't working tonight. That's the PG version anyway.
Yeah, that's the word, that.
Should we crack on with the injury report, lads? So yeah, a quick recap of the Thursday night injuries, and it was Jacoby Myers banged up again this week. So he went into the game questionable after suffering an injury last week on Thanksgiving, and he's coming out of the game the same. So it was a big, big hit in the end zone in the fourth quarter. Went into the blue tent, then into the locker room. It was late on, so he didn't come back anyway. But it was actually that bad. Damar Hamlin was ejected for it. I've not seen any update as yet on Jacoby Myers, but it was a nasty hit, wasn't it? Straight in.
Was
the
that
head.
The one in the end zone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Understandable.
But quarterback injuries to look out for this week. Justin Fields, he logged a full practice on Thursday, so it's a great sign he will be back to torch the Packers in that divisional matchup this week. Derek Carr sustained a back injury in week 12 after a big hit in the first quarter against the Seahawks. He left the game temporarily before coming back and playing all right, actually. Initially, I thought he just had the wind knocked out of him before flagging up as a back issue afterwards. He's logged full practices, though, all week, so he should be good to go. And the other one, Matt Stafford, is likely out for week 13, so another start for Bryce Perkins. The Rams are a mess, and you likely wouldn't be starting Stafford, I don't think, anyway.
Yeah, that Rams offense without Stafford and Cook, you don't want to touch it, really, do you? Not great. Right, running backs then. Najee Harris, he came away from Monday night with an oblique injury. He has not practiced all week. This is looking like he'll also miss the game this week as well. it's tough to say. Jalen Warren, he came in on Monday and was the next man up, but Snell also got some of that workload too, so just be interesting to see which way they go this weekend. Joe Mixon, he is still in concussion protocol. He's been limited in practice all week. Check his Friday practice notes. Samaje Perine, he came in and did well in his absence. Etienne, foot injury, has actually practiced this week, which is more than people expected him to do as well. I also expect him to be out as well, but Doug Peterson has said he is good to go. He's still graded as questionable at the moment, but we shall see well how that one goes. Hasty did fill in nicely as well in his absence. Just, again, one to watch. That's probably going to be one of those Sunday game-time decisions. Leonard Fournette, his hip issues are still carrying on after the bye week. He missed last week as well. Full practice on Thursday, however. Rashad White seems to have done well in his absence. So it'll be interesting to see which way the Bucs go with this now that White seems to have taken over. Just worth noting that return as well, though. So we shall see how that one goes. Michael Carter is now doubtful for the game. Bam Knight, Ty Johnson, perhaps James Robinson. But James Robinson was a healthy scratch last week. We'll come back to Knight a little bit later on. We'll give you that sneak preview. And then Cam Akers, he has been sick all week. So one to watch on that one.
Another reason to avoid the Rams, then.
Very much.
Well, you might think, but we shall see. Wide receivers, Darnell Mooney went out with a nasty hit last week. He is now on the IR, out for the year with a left ankle injury. Torn ligaments, that looking like they're going to need some surgery. So, again, pieces like Allen Robinson leaving, Chase Claypool not hitting the ground as much as he could do. Questions about Fields as well. You know, it's looking like the defense are going to have a lot to do for Chicago for at least maybe next week. Jamar Chase is practicing once again. He has been limited this week with his hip injury that's kept him out since week 7, which is great news. Hopefully that means that there's an uptick for the rest of them as well, because it means that there's less coverage to cover people like T. Higgins, although I don't think that's going to affect T. Higgins that much. He has been an absolute baller in the last few weeks. Devonta Smith, he was also limited Wednesday and Thursday with a groin injury. He may not be missed either if the Eagles have a ground game like they did last week against the Packers. But it'd be nice to have him back, especially as A.J. Brown was ill last week too. Allen Robinson, like we've covered about other wide receivers, he is now on IR as well as Cup. So the bare bones, Ben Skowronek and Tutu Atwell and Van Jefferson could be the guys if you're really, really stuck. But there's injuries all over that team, so I'm avoiding them too. And then Michael Gallup has not practiced this week, Wednesday and Thursday, with an illness. However, he's expected to play Sunday after not practicing at all. So I'm a little bit sceptical about how much he is going to be involved this week.
It's a strange one with Gallup anyway, because he hasn't exactly set the world alight since returning from injury, has he? So, yeah, like you say, a bit sceptical about it myself. But moving on to tight ends anyway, David Njoku is back on the injury report with a knee injury. He missed practice Wednesday and Thursday, and he has now been ruled out for the weekend. So David Njoku does not get the return of Deshaun Watson this week. Daniel Bellinger, he had that poked in the eye, wasn't he? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's been out for a couple of weeks. But he could return this week. He's been limited in practice for the Giants this week. And a bit of good news to end this anyway. Logan Thomas is now healthy.
So keep your eye out for Bellinger.
Fantastic.
I have actually just been given an update from Sleeper. Breaking news. Najee Harris, he says he'll play. So, we'll see.
Skeptical.
Yeah, it might be reduced work there, won't it? So.
Yeah, definitely. Right, let's move on to weak points. So, as always, we tell you the top three teams that are letting up the most points to each of the skill positions. The Arizona Cardinals, who have been... well, you'll see in a minute, but they've been up there in a few of these all year. And the Panthers are on bye this week. Robbie's very happy about that, I'm sure. But the weakest against quarterback, and it's still the Detroit Lions with 24.6 points per game, up half a point from last week. So they faced the Jaguars, and they got Trevor Lawrence coming in off of a hot, steaming hot fourth quarter defeating the Ravens last week. So it was a fantastic ending to the game. And so Trevor Lawrence is one to definitely plug in this week, I think. But second, Raiders, 21.3 points, so quite a way off top, actually. Up to second, though, since last week. Actually gone down in fantasy points per game, ever so slightly, by 0.1. They face the Chargers. Now, Justin Herbert, he had a week last week with, you know, getting Keenan Allen back into the fold and things like that. And Justin Herbert was just under 30 points for us last week. So it's a time to have your quarterback getting hot heading towards those fantasy playoffs. Dolphins are third, 21.1 points per game at the Niners. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's a real test for Tua against that Niners defense. But Jimmy G is the quarterback here. He should have a decent week. I expect him to spread the love all around to his offensive weapons again.
I'm right in thinking that Jimmy G hasn't had a turnover in recent games as well. Like he's very consistent, like just doing what he needs to do, which is great for a Niners who are pushing for playoffs.
Yeah, that's all he ever done before, wasn't it? He's just he's a decent game manager and things like that. And yeah.
Super, let's head on to the weakest against the running back. Texans, still number one with an average of 27.6 points. That is a drop from a point over last week. This week they go up against the Browns. Always fire up Chubb, but this looks like a great game for him to carry on smashing it, even with the return of the Browns' new off-season quarterback. Browns, funnily enough, are number two. 26.4, they're still number two. They've dropped nearly a point as well since last week. This, obviously, they are against the Texans. This game could well be back and forth, the running back battle. Pierce has had been off the boil the last few games. However, the last time the Texans went up against a favourable run D, Pierce ran for 139 yards. So we'll have to hope the game script goes in his favour and it doesn't run away from them so that they can keep pounding the rock. Fingers crossed anyway. Seahawks, they're number three, 25.6 points. They leapfrog the Chargers into third. This week, they're up against the Rams. With Akers sick, Rookie Williams will be the go-to back in this offense. Although it's hard to call an offense, really, at the moment. Like I said, with Stafford and Kupp out, it's been a rough watch.
It certainly has. Interesting to note about Texans and Browns, they've both got relatively new quarterbacks. So Kyle Allen's come in for the Texans. Now they've benched Davis Mills, and potentially Deshaun Watson will come in and, you know, not have the chemistry straight away. So we could very well see those other quarterbacks come back in. Or like you said, it's just going to be running game versus running defense, just clashing into each other consistently throughout that whole game. Weakest against wide receivers. And unfortunately, Pitts, we say this every week, you know, the Steelers are still top with 34.3 points conceded per game. However, the good news, but potentially the good news, is they're at the Falcons this week. So Drake London, Damir Bird, eliminated Zacchaeus, you know, they could also feature. It depends on how Mariota does here, because I feel as it's going to be a run-first offense. You just need to watch out for that hybrid Cordarrelle Patterson, don't you? Because he's a running back, he's a wide receiver, but he'll be one that you'll need to contain. The Titans are up from third. They're in second now with 33 points, and they are up against the Eagles. Hurts is going to have to sling it this week. So we're looking for big games from AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, if he's there. I think Kez Watkins, he has stepped up. Especially with losing Dallas Goedert as well. They've had to have an extra option there as well. So Quez Watkins could be one that we need to keep an eye on here too. And then the Lions, again, featuring in one of these lists, they are back into the top three, 32.7 points, and they are against the Jaguars. So not only are they weak against T-Law, they're weak against Zay Jones, who's coming off a big week. Christian Kirk is still a wide receiver here. And then Marvin Jones could, you know, also pick up a few as well. I've been impressed with Is Jamal Agnew still at the Jaguars? Or has he gone to the Lions now?
No, he scored last week, didn't he? For the
So Jamal Agnew, he's stuck in my head as a player who has done well in the last few weeks, and I'd expect him to continue that as well.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on to tight end, finally, the Seahawks have leapfrogged the Cardinals. It's been them two at the top all year by quite a way. 16 points per game, like I said, up from second. They faced the Rams. Tyler Higbee didn't receive a single target last week with Bryce Perkins in at QB. So read into that whatever you want, really. Cardinals second, 0.3 points behind with 15.7. They're obviously on the bye. Good news for them. The Dolphins are down in third, 12.9 points per game. That's actually creeping up, isn't it? They are getting closer. They're at the Niners. Now, one of Jimmy G's weapons, obviously I spoke about Jimmy G spreading love, is George Kittle. So he should have a nice week after a down week against New Orleans, which is no surprise as they are lights out against tight ends. The people's tight end, George Kittle, sorry.
Brilliant. Right, team. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Goof. Yeah, I was going to say, flex of the week, guys. Flex of the week.
It feels like we've been coating the Rams for this whole episode. So I'm going to shed some love their way right now. Are we ready? My flex of the week is Kieran Williams. Okay, so 14 touches last week, perfect 3-from-3 in the passing game. They're facing Seattle, who allowed the second most receiving yards to running backs. And they're also, by no surprise, in the top 10 of targets and receptions allowed to running backs. So Williams, he's the passing downs guy since he has been in the setup the last three games. 43 snaps played last week, Akers less than 20. Over the last three games, even, since Williams has played over double the snaps to Akers, he's run 50 routes to Akers 7. Cam is also ill, like we spoke about earlier. Williams has caught 7 of 8 in his three games. You can hurt Seattle with running backs in the passing game. Little bit of an example. Javonte Williams, 11 of 11. Eckler, 12 of 12. Not the same volume, but Kamara, 6 of 6. That's three guys perfect. Even Josh Jacobs last week, he caught 6 of 7 against them. And not even just against the passing down guys, they allowed a third most points per game to running backs anyway. So let's give the rookie some love. Kieran Williams this week.
To say that we've been slating the Rams all the time, someone's got to take the points, haven't they? Someone's got to get that rock over the line at some point.
Or not.
They've got to try at least, haven't they? So.
They've got to try.
Yeah, brilliant. I like that. Right, so I was to and fro, but I didn't even have one until last minute. I was thinking Elijah Moore coming back into that team and obviously getting his touchdown last week. It was nice. I even had a look like Jordan Mason for 49ers. They're saying that he's going to probably get worked in. But I went with Zonovan Knight, the Jets' weird running back that came in last week. So last week, Robinson was a healthy scratch, and they went with Knight, especially with Dak Carter going down. He ended up getting 48% of the snap share, 14 attempts for 69 yards, 3 receptions, 3 completions, 34 yards. And then obviously this week, with Carter being doubtful, they go up against the Vikings, who are a slightly, I'm not saying an easier run D, but there's potential for Knight to go quite well this week.
I think they're in the bottom 12. I think they're in that bottom third for conceding fantasy points to running backs.
So yeah.
That's still pretty good. I am not going to choose somebody who had 14 attempts and 3 completions on 3 targets, unlike both of you, which I thought was quite funny. I've been looking at wide receivers, and like we talk about flex of the week as someone I don't want to slot in who's going to go straight into a wide receiver position. So I had a look at Zacchaeus for the Falcons. But it's not a passing offense at the moment. So I moved away from Zacchaeus. And I've looked instead at Khalif Raymond for the Lions. This is a high pass offense, and Khalif Raymond seems to have slotted in perfectly behind DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown as the third option, at least in the last few games. Now, one thing I have noticed is that Raymond's snap percentage is going down. However, the snap number is staying the same, suggesting that Detroit are actually staying on the field more for offense, which is a great sign for anyone who has any of those Lions offensive pieces. Also, his target depth, he's got a little bit of variety. He's seen quite a lot of targets and receptions in the last few games, and they're all been at different distances, which I think makes it very difficult for defenders to track him consistently because they don't know how far he's going to go. And he's been seeing targets from the slot and in screen passes as well. So he's getting involved in quite a few different schemes. He's also lined up in the backfield on several occasions as well. So that's not ruling out him being involved in any carries too. Minnesota are the fifth worst against wide receivers. They average 31.9 fantasy points a game. And Raymond has actually averaged 7 fantasy points in the last 3 weeks, but he has seen as high as nearly 15. So I'm looking for that bit more success. He's going to be good for a flex. Knowing my luck, with all this research being put in, he's going to get 2 points. So, you know, we can only hope.
Love it. Absolutely love it. No, that works. I can see that. I can also see that he ends up going off injured within the first second and then you don't get any points at all. But it just seems to be your luck with this, Rob.
He's a funny one, isn't he, Khalif Raymond?
Yeah.
But they're a bit of a funny offense, though, Detroit. I mean, I like the fact that game could be a bit of a shootout as well.
Yeah, big time.
You know, and The potential's there, but the potential's also there. It's a proper boom or bust, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like the way the Lions are playing at the moment, though. So
Jared Goff seems to have a bit of the rub, so he's only thrown 7 interceptions, and I think he's thrown a lot more touchdowns than that. His turnover-worthy plays, though, is second out of all quarterbacks, so he's had a bit of a look of the, a bit of the rub of the green as well, so... Fingers crossed that continues and Raymond gets some big plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. But that is it for week 13. We will be back next week for the finale of the regular season.
Ooh, so, yeah, 2 games together this weekend and the next weekend. It's a little bit.
That is it. We are so close to the playoffs, and this will be available wherever you get your podcasts, as always. Until then, keep rushing.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.